Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to earnings conference call of JM Financial Limited to discuss the performance for quarter and half year ended September 2023. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Kampani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial, we extend a very warm welcome to all of you to the conference call to discuss our financial results, both for the second quarter and half year ended FY 2024. We have uploaded our results, and as well as our press release on the website and stock exchanges, and I hope you all have had a chance to go through the same. I will take you through the brief highlights, and then Nishit, our Group CFO, will take you through the numbers, in detail. I'm happy to report that we had our highest ever quarterly revenue number in the history of the firm for quarter ended September 2023. The revenues were at 1,214 crores, and this performance was backed by the fees as well as the commission and brokerage business, both from the advisory business and investment banking, as well as our wealth businesses, as well as our platform AWS businesses, as well as the distribution that we've been able to do on the ECM and DCM side. A big congratulations to that business for its outstanding performance. We have also seen an increase in interest income from some of our new initiatives and new businesses that we have built in the last 5 years, namely the retail mortgage business, which covers all of the home loans and the loan against property to MSME customers, as well as the financial institutions financing business, where we fund, you know, NBFCs who are rated lower than us. On the mortgage lending side, on the wholesale side, as per the earlier guidance given, we have taken additional 126 crores of provisioning, and I think we are almost done with the provisioning cycle for the wholesale mortgage business. After this, I think we will start seeing normalized profits, and I must say that the performance of the wholesale mortgage book, the new book, continues to be exemplary, and is doing very, very well. With this, I would hand over to Nishit to take you through some of our numbers for the quarter as well as the half year. Nishit?
Thank you, Vishal. Our consolidated revenue for the half year ended FY 2024 stood at 2,295 crores, a rise of 36% year-on-year. For the same period, profit after tax stood at 361 crores, which is an increase of 3% year-on-year. This represents an earnings per share of rupees 3.8 versus rupees 3.7 for half year FY 2023. In Q2 FY 2024, our revenue stood at rupees 1,214 crores. The increase is across fees, commission, brokerage, and interest income. Pre-provisioning profit for quarter ended September 2023 stood at rupees 405 crores, an increase of 17% year-on-year. We have taken provisions of rupees 126 crore in our wholesale mortgage lending.
Sorry to interrupt you. Sir, there is a slight distortion in the line.
Is it better?
Yes, sir.
Profit before tax for quarter two FY 2024 is at rupees 278 crore, which is a decline of 13% year-on-year, and a profit after tax, after non-controlling interest for quarter two FY 2024, increased by 8% year-on-year from rupees 180 crore to rupees 195 crore. As on September 30, 2023, the net worth, excluding minority interest, is at rupees 8,364 crore, which translates into a book value of rupees 87.6 per share. Our consolidated loan book stood at rupees 15,808 crores, up by 8% year-on-year. We have diversified our loan book over the last 3-4 years across several products. The breakup of the loan book as of September 30, 2023 is as follows. Wholesale mortgage. Wholesale mortgage constitutes 50% of our loan book, which is approximately 7,900 crores, registering a YOY increase of 8%. Bespoke financing loan book stood at about 2,726 crores, which is approximately 17% of the loan book. Bespoke financing book has declined by 29% year-on-year. Direct lending, which is lending to retail and HNI customers. The capital markets loan book constitutes 6% of the total loan book at approximately 963 crores. This loan book has registered a decline of 16%. The retail mortgage loan book constitutes 15% and stood at 2,288 crores. This loan book registered a YOY growth of 64%. Indirect retail loan book. The financial institutions loan book comprise 12% of our total loan book at approximately 1,927 crores. Under this loan book, we are taking indirect exposure to retail customers. So overall, wholesale loan book stood at 67%. Direct retail loan book stood at 21% and indirect retail constitutes 12% of the total loan book. This loan book does not include the SEBI margin trade financing book of approximately 1,200 crores, which is under the platform AWS business. Coming to asset quality, the gross NPA ratio of the lending businesses is at 4.8%, net NPA at 2.3% and SMA 2 at 0.5%. As of September 30, 2023. The pre-COVID loan book stood at rupees 713 crores, which is 4% of the total loan book as of September 30th. This book used to be 1571 crores as of March 31st, 2023. Out of the pre-COVID loan book of 713 crores, 61% is in the NPA bucket and 2% in the SMA 2 bucket. The DCCO book stood at about 605 crores as of September 30, 2023. On leverage and liabilities, on a consolidated basis, our debt to equity stood at 1.5 times as of September 30th. During the half year, we raised approximately 1,400 crores through long-term borrowings. Our liability profile is diversified to also include insurance companies, pension, employee and provident funds. Our borrowing comprises of 77% from long-term sources and 23% from short-term sources. Coming to our segments, the first segment is our integrated investment bank. The investment bank does a lot more than just pure play investment banking. The integrated investment bank focuses on all our institutional, corporate, government and ultra-high net worth clients. It includes investment banking, institutional equities, private wealth, PMS, fixed income, private equity funds, balance sheet financing, as well as our international operations. Within investment banking, it includes the equity capital markets, private equity, debt capital markets, as well as the advisory businesses. For the half year ended September 2023, the segment had a revenue of 886 crores, profit before tax of 319 crores, and a profit after tax of approximately 250 crores, which is an increase of 27% year-on-year. The ROE and ROA from these segments were at 18% and 6.4% respectively. For quarter 2 FY24, the segment had a revenue of 495 crores, PBT of 184 crores, and a PAT of 142 crores, which is an increase of 51% year-on-year. During first half FY24, private wealth and PMS businesses have been demerged into JM Financial Limited and have become a part of the investment bank segment. Our private wealth, which caters to ultra-high net worth individuals, has an AUM of approximately 60,300 crores, an increase of 5% year-on-year. The second segment is mortgage lending, which includes our wholesale and retail mortgage businesses. Wholesale includes construction finance, project loans, loan against security, as well as structured finance. Retail mortgages includes our affordable home loans, smaller ticket loan against property, MSME, as well as education institutions loans. For the half year ended September 30, 2023, the mortgage lending segment reported net revenues of 391 crore with a pre-provisioning operating profit of 308 crores. Provisions for first half stood at about 260 crores compared to rupees 95 crores in first half FY23. Profit before tax for this segment stood at 48 crores and profit after tax post non-controlling interest stood at 15 crores. In Q2 FY24, our net revenue and pre-provisioning profits stood at rupees 197 crores and rupees 155 crores respectively. Provisions for Q2 FY24 stood at rupees 127 crores compared to 133 crores in Q1 FY24. Profit before tax at rupees 28 crores and post non-controlling interest stood at 6 crores respectively. On the retail mortgages business, we have built a very granular retail mortgage loan book of approximately 1500 crores across 13,000 customers with an average ticket size of 11 lakhs, carrying an average yield of 13.1% and a loan to value of 57%. Our book is spread across nine states and 105 branches. On the wholesale side, the loan book has increased from 9,293 crores as on 30th June 2023 to 9,711 crores as of September 30, 2023. Our third segment is a combination of our distressed credit business as well as the alternative credit business. This includes largely our real estate, our asset reconstruction business. On the distressed credit business, our AUM increased by 33% year-on-year to rupees 15,114 crores. This AUM is well diversified into multiple sectors, and for the half-year ended September 2023, the segment had net revenues of 102 crores with a PBT of 48 crores. Profit after tax post non-controlling interest from this segment stood at rupees 25 crores. Gross debt to equity stood at 1.7 times for this segment. In Q2 FY24, our net revenue stood at 37 crore, profit before tax at rupees 18 crore, and profit after tax post non-controlling interest at rupees 10 crore respectively. The fourth segment is platform AWS. The business is completely focused on providing an integrated investment platform for individual clients of the company. It comprises of asset management, wealth management, and securities, which we call as AWS. This platform will be digitally focused. We are in an investment phase as of now for both the asset management as well as the digital businesses, and the financials reflect the investments made in these areas. For the half year ended September 30, 2023, the platform AWS business segment reported revenues of rupees 413 crore with a profit before tax of rupees 23 crore. Profit after tax post non-controlling interest for this segment stood at rupees 18 crores. In Q2 FY24, our revenue stood at rupees 238 crores. Profit before tax at rupees 11 crore and PAT post non-controlling interest at rupees 9 crores. We operate through our own branches and franchisees. We have been growing the franchisee network, and as of 30th September, it stood at 814 locations across 222 cities. Our elite wealth business caters to affluent clients, and we have increased the AUM there to about 1466 crores, demonstrating a growth of 27% year-on-year, and this business is likely to grow much faster. Our retail wealth business, which predominantly deals with retail customers through a network of over 7,000 independent financial distributors, recorded a steady growth of 19% year-on-year, and the AUM stood at rupees 26,414 crores. The closing AUM for our mutual fund business stood at about 4,057 crores. During the quarter, we crossed the milestone of 4,000 crore AUM. Out of the AUM of 4,057 crores, equity schemes contribute approximately 1,780 crores. We are actively expanding our engagement with partners through innovative approaches,
resulting in increased participation from the distributor community. With this, I would like to conclude, and we are happy to take any questions. Over to the moderator. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from O3 Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, Rushabh, go ahead.
Yeah. I have a couple of questions. If we look at our wholesale book on slide 18, pre-COVID book is nearly 713 crores and out of it 60% is NPA, which is 420 crores. So our GNPA is nearly 7.2% of the loan book of 9,711 crores. So roughly 300 crores is GNPA from loans disbursed after COVID. So assuming that we have disbursed 9,000 crores post-COVID, is not the high of NPA high around 3% on post-COVID book? Would it be the right understanding, sir?
No, that's not the right understanding. Because post-COVID, we don't have any NPAs in our real estate book. But I will have Nishit and Gagan clarify to you in person.
Okay. And so my second question is, our current loan book is majorly disbursed post-COVID. How much of these loans would be with players who were our customers pre-COVID and how many are new customers? Secondly, till two quarters back, Ahmedabad was an important portion of our book, more than 5%. And then in this quarter, it is not there. Why so, sir?
Yeah. The Ahmedabad question is easy. We had exposure to Adani Properties, which has become zero. They have prepaid the entire loan. And therefore, the Ahmedabad number is zero. And on the question of how many accounts are new accounts versus old accounts, I think... I don't have an exact answer, but we'll get you an exact answer. But my guesstimate, which should be a very close answer, that almost 50% of the accounts we've lent to will be accounts who've been with us, and almost 50% will be new accounts, roughly 50-50. But we will get you that answer and communicate it to you.
Okay. Now, we stated that the intensity of competition is high in wholesale business.
Yeah.
What are the segments where we are seeing high competition, and it seems that the competitive intensity has suddenly increased, as we did not hear from the last many quarters from you?
Yeah, so what we've been seeing is the last 6 months specifically, when our team has been trying to engage and grow the book, we've been seeing some competitive intensity on rates. So people have been sort of been aggressive on at what yields they are able to close real estate loans. This is specifically for the wholesale mortgage segment. We have seen a couple of AAA NBFC players who are very focused on the segment and are growing, and there are a couple of banks also who are growing. So even though the competitive intensity has increased, with our stated objective that we grow the wholesale lending book at 20%, I think we should be able to meet that stated objective. Our cleanup also is completed. All of our provisions are in place. So hopefully we should be able to grow the wholesale real estate book at anywhere between 18 to 20% over the next few years on an annual basis. The challenge we are facing, as I mentioned even earlier in one of my calls, is that the sales cycle in real estate continues to be extremely strong. So our sanction to disbursement ratio actually has dropped in the last couple of quarters. What happens is, if sales is very strong, then us being a large real estate book which is focused in residential, the residential uptick in terms of construction finance slows down because money from sales is basically flowing in faster and stronger and taking care of the construction requirements. So that continues to be a challenge. And over and above that, last 6 months, we have seen competitive intensity increase in terms of rates offered. Another reason why we could be seeing competitive intensity increase is because we are also graduating. When I talked about roughly 50% of customers being new customers for us on the real estate mortgage side, we are trying to go to a better quality set of customers. So when we are going to a better quality set of customers, there are more competitive players who are lending to those customers.
Okay. Someone, two small questions. Can you give the average ticket size per loan and number of relationships we have in the current loan book on the wholesale side of the business?
Yeah. So, yes, we have roughly 65 relationships, and the average size should be approximately 130 crores, 135 crores.
Okay.
But just to tell you, at peak, we have had more than 125 to 130 relationships.
Yes, that's right, sir. One last question. 20% of our ARC book is real estate.
Yeah.
What percentage of it is composed from our own JM Credit Solutions loans which turned NPA?
Again, should be roughly 50%.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much for answering. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Pallav Garg from Star Health. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, sir. My question is, for the mortgage book, the gross NPA has been kind of on an uptrend. So, and whereas we have seen from the first quarter, there is a steep fall in the SMA-2 percentages.
Yes.
So if you can elaborate on this.
Yeah. So part of the SMA-2 has been resolved, and it is normalized, and some of it has also been taken off our books. And some part of the SMA-2 has slipped into NPA, and therefore the NPA numbers have gone up. But as I had mentioned on my last call, that we expect that this year, the NPA number has peaked for the real estate finance book. We have only one SMA account, which we are focused on, and hopefully that will also get resolved by March. And then I think by next year, you will see these numbers only going lower. And all of this has happened because the 6 months was the maturity period of our restructured book, the DCCO book, which was given after the Delta wave. So it is all of those accounts which are, not all, but a large part of those accounts which are not being able to adhere and pay principal, and therefore they've got into a NPA cycle. That doesn't mean our recovery efforts are not on. Our recovery efforts are quite strong. And we should, fingers crossed, hopefully be able to recover significant amount of this money over the next 6 to 8 quarters. One fundamental change is that across the board, whether it's our ARC or whether it is a real estate lending business, whatever estimated recovery timelines we've had in the past when we started the business, we model that the recovery timelines are a lot longer. So if we'd assumed in the past that a recovery from a SIC unit or a distressed real estate project could have been 12 to 18 months. Now we factor in almost 24 to 36 months of recovery period. When we factor that recovery period, two things happen. We have to expand the liability side of our balance sheet, and that's what we have done. If you see we in Credit Solutions specifically, we have a lot of long-term borrowing now. Second, we have to factor in the rating and the quality of the buyer we are lending to. And the spread at which we will be doing the loan, considering that if we have to recover, we're going to take a longer timeline to recover. So all those changes have already been affected in our model for the last 2 years.
Yeah. And if you can talk a little bit about your existing DCCO portfolio. I believe there's still 605 crores in the
yes,
DCCO no, portfolio.
Exactly. In the DCCO book, we'll put efforts of recovery are on. Some are negotiated deals, some places we have basically started SARFAESI action, some places we are starting NCLT action. Though from our experience of the ARC, we are not preferring to go down NCLT, we are preferring to going down SARFAESI. But almost on each and every account, barring one account where there is a negotiated transaction which is hoping to get closed this Diwali, I think everything else is under process for recovery. The book is highly concentrated between Chennai and Mumbai. All other geographies are okay. Bangalore is okay, NCR is okay, but it's Mumbai, Chennai, and one asset in Pune. So it is largely these three centers.
Okay. So, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chirag Surekha from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes. So just on the follow-up on the asset quality question. So on the asset quality front, the reduction in SMA2 which you mentioned, so are these accounts or have these accounts shifted to normal or have they gone out of the book or are they or a large part is still sitting in stage 2 for some reason?
No. So some of them have normalized and some of them have shifted to NPA. And one or two of the accounts have been refinanced.
Okay. So not a large part or a good part will not be sitting in stage 2 or any delinquency bucket?
No. They are not.
Okay. And the sale, these accounts which have been sale or refinanced, there we have... Even in stage two SMA account, they were able to get refinance the developers.
Yeah, because what happens if it is taken over by a stronger developer, or a stronger developer is doing a partnership in terms of a DM model, then people refinance.
Sure, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajat Sethia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity.
Of course.
Sir, on this DCCO book of 600 crores, did we see...
Sorry, your voice is not coming clearly.
Is it any better now?
I can hear him clearly.
Okay.
On this 600 crores of DCCO book, did we say that we are comfortable now? And what gives us the comfort?
No, sorry. So we are comfortable because all our recovery efforts are on. And we have taken provisions... based on our ECL model. We've also increased our provision slightly because of RBI wanting some comfort on higher provisions compared to where we are comfortable. So I think at this stage, it is really about focusing on recovery and making sure that we get the 600 crores back into the system as cash.
And by what time, do we have any timelines? I mean,
as I said, my earlier timeline when we used to do the business I'm talking about when we started, used to always feel that a 12 to 18 month timeline is good enough for recovery. But I would be very cautious to give you such an aggressive timeline. I would imagine that these timelines now could be stretched to 2 years, maybe even 2.5 years. But in general, recovery processes are taking a lot of time. We are facing that in our ARC also. I mentioned that in my press release and even on my last call that most of our assets through NCLT or any form of litigation, the recovery timelines have got, very, very stretched, which is impacting our earnings. So therefore, a similar thing will be followed for the DCCO book. I would not imagine that all of this will get recovered over the next 12 months, and I would imagine a 2 to 3 year scenario for recovery. So for ease of your assumption, I think you shouldn't just assume that in the 600 crore, if you have to model it, assume 200 crores in year 2, 200 crores in year 3, and 200 crores in year 4. That would be a very simple and easy way to model it.
Sure. And for the DCCO 600 crore book, how much provisioning do we have on those assets, 600 crores?
Most of our provisioning is on the DCCO assets only.
I mean, on those 600 crores specifically, on those assets that are still standard, I think.
Yeah, so I think there it's roughly 5 and it's 31 point. One second, I'm just getting the numbers. So, beyond the 600 crore DCCO book, our provisioning is roughly 190 crores, which is roughly 30%.
But even on those 600 crores, which are, we have 190 crores of provisioning.
Yes, 190 crores is almost 30% of the provision.
And and you don't expect them to slip to NPAs. That is the understanding, correct?
No, no. Some of them are already NPAs.
So some of them are already NPAs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How much of them are NPAs?
Almost half.
Okay, so the 300 crores, what are the chances of them slipping into?
What is NPA 300 crores? Yeah, that is significant portion of the provisioning is on that number.
Okay, and the known NPA numbers will have very low provisioning right now.
Absolutely, because, you know, so take it, I'll give you a simple example. So if 600 crores, 300 crores, roughly 343 crores is NPA, and the remaining is not NPA. So you should assume that on the NPA, we'll have at least 40% provisioning, and the rest would be provisioning on the non-NPA.
Sure, sure. And one SMA2 account you mentioned that we are working on, that is worth 20 crores, going by the number that we have of SMA2. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vivek Kumar from Best Pals Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, go ahead.
Sir, my first question is on mortgage. Given that now we have upgraded the way we are selecting our clients, and also because other NBFCs and banks are addressing the same segment of better clients and sales cycle financing the, or customers financing the construction and other parts of the real estate, whatever opportunity we have, how should we start thinking about ability to grow the loan book? And can you explain more? Because now from three, like all customers and even competition, and we ourselves are upgrading our selection of customers. So how should we now think of any change in assumptions that you had post-COVID and the way you are going to, are we trying to increase our ratings and what we are doing for it? So if you can throw more light on how we should think about this mortgage business, wholesale mortgage.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, if you see our efforts over the last 2-3 years, we've actually diversified away from wholesale mortgage a lot. We do not want to grow wholesale mortgage more than 20% a year. We have enough of firepower in terms of capital, in terms of people, in terms of understanding of markets to be able to grow wholesale mortgage at 20%. Our other segments like retail mortgages, our MSME book, our financials, the financial institution financing have grown significantly. They will grow faster. I imagine retail mortgage will grow at 30%. The financial institution financing business will grow between 20 and 25%, and MSME LAP will grow at 35%. So I think these books will grow faster over time, which will help us achieve a much better retail and wholesale mix in the mortgage space as well as the overall loan book space. Our capital market book also has performed very well in the last 6 months, but that is a cyclical book. If markets were to turn negative and not too well, then there is a huge possibility of that book being flat or coming down. Our bespoke book is extremely sort of, bespoke book will never grow beyond a certain point because we use that book largely for distribution. We take on our books and we basically sell down to other NBFCs and AIFs, and that book actually works very closely with our investment bank. So I think this is a broad book. You can expect good growth in across all segments, but there will be more growth on the retail asset side.
So mortgage, you're saying you have enough firepower, and even with these assumptions of a very great sales cycle, because in bad times we will not have a great credit, and in good times financing is coming from the customer. So you are still confident of 20% growth given all these conditions?
Yeah, that's why I said that around 18-20% growth should be achievable from our base over the next 2-3 years. We are also trying to move in wholesale mortgage over the last 2-3 years to a better customer, a better sort of counterparty who we want to lend to. So incrementally, we don't want to do business in the high teens. We want to focus on business, you know, in the low teens. And the competitive intensity in the low teens is always going to be higher compared to high teens. But we just think that from what we have seen in the last 5 years, it is not worth doing the high teens business because the risk element is extremely high and the recovery pace is very, very slow. And therefore, you're just better off, you know, banking on a better client and lending at 13, 14 versus trying to lend at 17, 18.
Got it. So when it comes to investment banking, what part of the, I know you, nobody knows what is going to happen in terms of market, but what kind of growth rate can we, because you, in one of the interviews for the
investment bank, I always maintain that India's capital markets are going to grow phenomenally, and at least the last 10 years we've been proven right. So the way we look at investment bank is that every 4 years, the investment bank should double its profit. That's the way we focus. And that means that they should have 18 to 20% growth. And you know, I'm very pleased to report that on the investment bank, we have actually reported a 20% ROE last quarter. We've reported 18% ROE for the first half. And our numbers are extremely strong. Our pipeline is unbelievably strong across all our products, whether it's equity, whether it's debt, whether it's private equity, whether it's advisory, M&A. And I think the traction that we are seeing is perhaps one of the best in the lifetime of the firm. So very happy. And the cross-sell of all of those, you know, customer relationships coming in into private wealth management, into PMS, into bespoke, is very, very strong. So when I look at the integrated investment bank, I don't think there is anybody in India who is trying to build this. I think we are building it in an extremely strategic manner, and I think we will be for the next coming years one of the most successful firms building a true blue-blooded investment bank in India, which is an Indian investment bank.
So any plans once it is a 1,000 crore kind of profit to merge non-lending and lending figures, non-lending and lending separately like that, or you're not thinking of those things?
It is very difficult to break up lending and non-lending in the investment bank.
Got it.
No, if you look at our tab A, okay, where we have given some details, if you focus on page 14, there is something called franchise enhancing financing.
No, sir, got it. I think the better question would be investment bank and other things and lending, the other part of the lending.
Correct. So see, in investment bank, we don't increase our loan book. Our loan book has been around 4,000 to 5,000 crores for the last 5-6 quarters because we only originate to sell down to customers, right? We are not hungry for yield. We are hungry for fees. We are hungry for the fee-based business.
Got it.
And so if you see our trading and investment portfolio, it is significant and it's very liquid. We've got cash of almost 700 crores. We've got G-Secs and AAA bonds investments of almost 900 crores. We've got a significant amount of investments in REITs because we feel that countercyclically it earns a good yield of 8-8.5% and can give you further capital appreciation of 5-7% over the next 2-3 years. So, you know, we look at this business very strategically from a lending, trading, investment, fees, commission and brokerage business.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thanks for the
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from line of Pallav Garg from Star Health. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Just a follow-up question from me. How should we think about the impairment, the provisioning levels going forward? It has been high for a couple of quarters now. So,
yeah. Sure. Good question.
That it's been something which is for the comfort of the RBI.
No, so let me break this question up across our lending entities. I think we are very comfortable now in the provisions for JM Financial Credit Solutions. I think we have increased our provisions partly because RBI felt that we should be more conservative, and we completely respect the views of the regulator. And even though internally we were comfortable at a provision of 40%, we increased the provisions to 53% on the credit solution side. On products, we are very well provided. On JM Financial Home Loans, we are very well provided. On the ARC side specifically, I think we will have challenges over the next 3 years. Most of the resolutions that we are seeing lower realizations than modeled. In addition to that, we have a lot of assets which are completing 8 years, 7 and 8 year cycles. And as per the RBI regulations, we compulsorily have to make provisions if we've not been able to resolve, many of those cases. And the resolution timelines have been expanded quite significantly, especially for all the assets which are in NCLT or are in litigation. So I would
the way to explain is, over the next 3 years, investors should look at how much of a book value hit will we have going forward because of provisions. We think the book value per share hit at JM Financial Limited from the NBFC business will be extremely limited, and it should not be more than 50 paisa per share. But from the ARC, I think the hit can be anywhere between 4 rupees to 5 rupees per share over the next 3 years. The timelines of this are difficult to ascertain, and therefore I would cautiously ask all the investors to model an adjusted book value for JM Financial when they are valuing JM Financial, and just reduce our book value by 5 to 5.5 rupees for the provisions that will come up. As I said, 50 paisa to maybe 1 rupee maximum from the NBFC over the next, NBFCs over the next 3 years, and between 4 rupees to 5 rupees for the ARC, again, over the next 3 years. We've had some conversations with many of our lenders and investors that why don't we just upfront these provisions and get done with it. We're also evaluating the same, but it's tricky because we also have a lot of upsides in our ARC. We also have upsides in the provisions of many of the assets we've made in our NBFCs, which will come over the next 3 years. And it is difficult to ascertain which quarter or which year will we be getting those upsides versus when we make the provisions. So we are very closely looking at the same. And one thing I can assure you is that our NBFC current provision cycling is complete, and we will finish the remaining provision, which is a very, very small number in the NBFC. It should not be totaling to more than 25 crores over the next 6 months. And for the ARC, it is over the next 3 years, and the impact of that would be anywhere between 4 to 5 rupees on this value. And this is not including any upside we can get from any case which is under litigation where we have not booked any income.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So this is just a clarification. This is for this is cumulative, so we can model
Exactly. So I think it's very simple because, you know, people keep getting confused. I was just thinking, a great question you asked. How do I just address it? I just adjust the book value straight up by 5.5 rupees between these two. Look at that book value over the next 3 years and see if you do 10 rupees of EPS, say, in 2 years. I think it's quite clear, you know where the PE ratio should be, where the ROE should be. If you're looking at book growth of around 18 to 20% in wholesale mortgages, we're looking at investment banking doubling profit in 4 years. And we're looking at book growth of 30% in our retail business, 25% in our FIFG business. I think you can very easily model, where the EPS will be and, what sort of growth will be delivered by the firm over the next 3 years. And you just adjust 5.5 rupees upfront into the book value, so you can easily model and value JM over the next 3 years.
Yeah. And anything you can, if you can elaborate on your lending to the other financial institutions, how has been the experience and any trends that you're noticing?
The experience has been very, very good, but we are becoming a bit cautious. We have reduced, in the last 6 months, we have reduced the lending to fintechs. Microfinance is strong, vehicle finance is strong, gold loans is strong. The underlying recoveries from these portfolios and the modeling that we are doing and the risk analysis we are doing continues to be very robust. It remains very robust. So no sort of challenges as of now. Our objective is to granularize that loan book even more. We started off by doing larger loans to higher rated companies. And increasingly now we are doing smaller and smaller loans to lower rated companies. We do not lend to any NBFC which is rated below BBB. And we lend all the way to AA. In fact, the AA NBFCs, we cross-sell our investment bank because we do public issue of bonds, we do private placement of debt for the same. We also do equity issuances, whether it's a QIP or whether it's a private equity trade. So it's a full service given to all the financial institutions. We are hoping that our 2,000 crore book in the next 18 months will be closer to a 3,500 crore book. Fingers crossed, we should be able to achieve this kind of growth.
Thank you. That is all from my.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dhruvesh Sanghvi from Prospero Tree. Please go ahead.
A great session, sir. After 6 months, we get this opportunity. So, sir, one thing, why can't we move to a quarterly con call? I mean, just as a regular suggestion, that is number one. Second is about, let's say, when we see the mortgage business currently, what is happening is over the last 5 years, we have we are moving.
Hello?
So the line for the participant dropped. We move on to the next participant. Next question.
We should bring him back. Bring the participant back. So whenever possible, we can move on, but bring him back.
Yes, sir. Sure. Next question is from the line of Manoj Dua from Geometric Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. In the past, when we were used to talk about wholesale mortgage in the bad time, there was a thing that if we, when the good time will come, we can just book, increase our book in just 2 years. Now we have changed the strategy for the right reason. So how can we look after when the things are a little bit mature, when the book is increased at 18-20% with the right client? What kind of ROAs and ROE you can look in this business now?
Yeah. So first of all, let me tell you, and completely honestly and transparently, I can actually double the book in 2 years. There is no problem. I only have to reduce the interest rate. So demand for money is not a problem. The only challenge is that we want to maintain two things. We want to maintain a higher book in construction finance and a lower book in structured and land, which is what we've always done even pre-ILFS. Now, if you look at the pre-ILFS period from almost 2013 to 2018, sales were very slow and therefore the disbursements were very high. Our quarterly disbursement rate was very high. On the construction finance side, we're just facing a challenge because sales are very strong. So we are absolutely in the exact opposite market of what was there pre-ILFS, right? So the market just needs to normalize a bit. But frankly, it is not. The market is still very strong. I guess if the stock markets in India are doing well, making a lot of money, there is a lot of wealth effect. And we are seeing that in the geographies that we are operating, particularly Bombay, Bangalore, Pune and Delhi. I personally feel that in some of the places, the price rises are quite ridiculous. And today to be able to do a loan where something was selling at 80,000 rupees a square foot and suddenly prices have moved to 1,20,000 or even 1,40,000 square feet, right? Bandra, for example. It is very, very difficult to underwrite a new project because we're underwriting that project, assuming that price for the next 3 to 4 years, the price may not hold. Even if the price holds, the velocity of sales may not hold. So we're just being extremely cautious with our capital. I mean, if we just take a view that, no, we want to grow the loan book, it is actually very, very doable. Now, let me give you an example. If the rate was 1 lakh or 90,000 or 80,000 and developers wanted money, we could have disbursed 1,000 crores in western suburbs in Mumbai alone, literally, which, you know, we've chosen not to do. Now, coming back to your numbers question, I think we will get to anywhere between 3 to 4% ROA on the wholesale mortgage piece in JM Financial Credit Solutions. Because we are adding a bit of diversified, corporate LAS as well as FIFG, that ROA could be closer to 3 and not closer to 4. So, say, assume 3 to 3.5. And our endeavor would be in the business to take leverage back to 2.5-3 times over the next 3 years. So if we do that, it will be a 14 to 15% ROE business versus an 18 to 19% ROE business, which it used to be pre-ILFS. I think 14 to 15% is still a very strong number. And we are very well capitalized, very well positioned to deliver that. But, all our learnings from COVID, all our learnings from ILFS have been priced into our models. And we will be very careful in terms of who we give larger exposures to. We'll be very careful in terms of figuring out if something were to go wrong, how long would it actually take for us to get our money back. These things are very important, and that is priced into the risk models and could be another reason why the growth rates will be at 17 to 18 or 19 and not 20, 21, 22. And therefore, the guidance of 18 to 20%.
Okay, I understand. That's the prerogative management, how to do the strategy, and I respect that. So my second question is, like you saying some area prices are very high. Yeah. Is it only on some micro market or across? Because I'm coming, if you believe that the prices will correct, can our current book can also be little bit effective even if it is a conservative, because
yes,
the price fall can be high?
Very, very good question. So that is why, if you see, I built in a 50 basis points for our real estate book of further provisioning that may happen over the next 3 years. This is all from the wholesale mortgage side in our book value. But having said that, I feel that risk is very low today because the sales cycle of our projects is already very strong, and therefore the committed receivables are very strong. So we have to be very careful underwriting today. What we underwrote, see, if you see our pre-COVID book is completely changed hands. So pre-COVID performing book is down to zero. So the entire current book that we have, which is performing very well, is a new book which has been built in the last 3 years. And that book is performing extremely well. We don't even have a single, like, you know, zero plus. I mean, everybody is current in that book. And that's because the sales cycle is strong and projects are being delivered. But that is already sort of mid-cycle, no? Because I've been lending on that book for 3 years. So in FY24, FY25, it's mid-cycle and it comes to end cycle in 26-27. What I underwrite now, right, has to go through 24, 25, 26, 27 at high prices. And that we have to be very careful. Another thought in our mind is on the wholesale side, we have to be very careful of a major event like elections. Do we want to take any major exposures when we have one of the most important events for macroeconomics in the country, which is going to be the national election? So we will be very careful till May in terms of how much money do we put out on the wholesale side. And if the election result is good, favorable, and there's the proper stability in the country, then I think we have a clear 5-year window to grow the book even more aggressively. So all of these things are in our mind. So to your question, current book, I barely see any risk, but I'm talking about a 50 basis points sort of book value adjustment if things were to, you know, go awry. But I really doubt it. I really doubt it. And do not forget that we will also have recoveries against that. So when I gave my guidance about 5 rupees adjustment to book value, I am not baking in any 1 rupee of recovery in that guidance. So if we are good, we do a good job at recovery, then that 5.5 rupees adjustment, a large part of it may not even happen. But I don't want to promise it to everyone. As I said, I want everyone to make the adjustment and then look at our numbers.
Okay. So that 5 rupees adjustment is majorly because of the ARC business. Am I right in this?
As I said, 50 basis points to maximum 1 rupee on the JM Financial Credit Solutions side over the next 3 years, and 4 to 5 rupees on the ARC side.
And we hold 50% stake, around 50% stake in that ARC business. Can you quantify in terms of value what will be adjusted with that? Because it seems to be very high value even with 50% stake in our ARC business.
Yeah, our ownership is 58%.
Okay.
So yes, if we have all of those delays, that will be a high number in the ARC business.
Okay. Now, how do you see ARC business in the future with the kind of not so good experience in the last few years? And how are you putting more capital deployment in there or not?
Yeah, so what we are doing, we're doing two things. As I mentioned last time on my call, we are reducing the amount of wholesale we are doing in the ARC and we're increasing retail. If you see the new portfolios that we've added, 85% of the new portfolios that we've added in the ARC are all retail portfolios. And I must report that those portfolios are doing exceedingly well. And there is a significant and a good chance that they will earn extremely good IRRs and will also get repaid before time. So our idea is that we were 100% wholesale business in our ARC pre-ILFS, and we want to move that to 50-50, 50% wholesale, 50% retail. Second, we do not want to do 100% purchases and aggregations of assets. We want to limit our participation in assets to 25% and 75% of SR issuances. So we've taken very effective steps over the last 2 years also on the ARC. But, you know, unfortunately, we have 2 or 3 assets which have been sticky, and the assets have been hurt very badly in COVID. Many of the plants had to be shut down. We saw a crazy amount of inflation in input prices, which has hurt some of the assets. In 2 of the assets, we have PLI schemes, and, you know, buyers are wanting to pay 25 to 30 to 35% lower than what we think is fair value or residual value.
and therefore it's become difficult to close a transaction. So we may actually have to bite the bullet and maybe sell some of those assets at lower prices. So a lot of that brunt, is something that we are dealing with. But we are quite confident that the new book is doing well. The large part of the attraction to us to grow the ARC is still in retail assets. We see a big move in retail MSME. There has been tremendous amount of lending that has happened that could result in some NPAs maybe 2 years, 3 years down the line. So we will focus on making sure that we have the right partnerships which can help us recover on retail and MSME assets. And the current experience of the same has been pretty strong.
Okay. This is the last one question. I think it's very important. How can we demerge this wholesale mortgage from this business? Let me tell you why I'm coming from that. Because wholesale mortgage business is creating every time a big event, because real estate is a big purchase. From 2016, we are seeing one event, we are talking Concord, we are watching this event. It was GST, RERA, IBC, then COVID, wave 1, wave 2, wave 3, new Russia-Ukraine war, now this election has come out. So I understand whether it is a concave lending is a concave thing, and it creates, we have to watch for the event. Because that we are not getting at all some valuation in investment banking, which I believe going forward as the Indian economy go up, it has to be structural at some point of time. So what's your view on that?
I think it's a very, very good question. That question has crossed my mind many times. Since you have raised it on a call, I will definitely take it to my board and discuss the same.
Thank you, Mr. Sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dhruvesh Sanghvi from Prospero Tree. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I got disconnected. So my
no problem. We made sure we got you back.
Yeah, thank you. So my question related to the overall lending side is that let's say currently we are doing lending to other financial institutions. In the past, it was IPO. Previously to that, it was pure large ticket mortgage. Are we learning to become more consistent in the business strategy? Where I'm coming from is there are many NBFCs which have got created in the last 5 to 10 years, and some of them have really scaled it well. But the good part about some of those is that the line of activity that they chose is a little bit continual. Whereas what will happen is for us, let's say if we grow from 2,000 crore to 4,000 crores in the financial institution space, the problem is that something will go wrong at some other point and then we will have to scale it back. So on that higher base, that will again hurt us 3 years later, that then we'll have to give reasons on why are we degrowing that business.
That is a great question. Sorry, finish.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to understand that after a decade of here and there, touching multiple aspects of financing, lending side, are we getting clearer in our mind that, okay, this is the way forward on how to build the lending business? Because we are clearly not into the B2C except for the retail, the home lending side.
I got the question. Let me address it.
Yeah.
So, if you go back to even 5 years or 6 years back in most of our interactions on the analyst calls, we've always maintained that wholesale mortgage should actually grow at 20%. We've never discussed a growth in wholesale mortgage over and above that. And today we continue to believe that wholesale mortgage, if it is grown at a reasonable rate, it's a very, very good business to be in with very good cash flows. And we will continue doing the same. Now, why are we adding some of the other businesses, right? Bespoke is a business we always had. It was a structured finance and corporate last business, which we've renamed Bespoke, and we've integrated that much more into our investment bank. So that is not new. Our last business we've always had. Last business is booming today because the capital markets are booming. So that business also is very strong. IPO funding, we were very strong, but unfortunately, the regulators have closed it down. It has nothing to do with us. For example, if IPO funding had not been closed down, we would have reported 200 crores or more profit in the last 6 months. But it's a regulatory action. I mean, we've seen a boom in IPOs last 6 months where our funding book has not been able to participate because of the regulator's action. So So that is completely regulatory. And, you know, who knows? The regulators may change their mind. A lot of HNIs and a lot of retail investors are not investing in IPO because of these allocation rules and because they don't want to take funding without guaranteed allocation. And if that sort of data is appreciated by the regulators, they may actually change their mind and IPO funding may come back as a product, and it is an extremely profitable line of business for us. Now, coming to FIFG, why did we start FIFG? We realized that we have a lot of cross-selling in our investment bank to do to many of the smaller NBFCs. Smaller NBFCs, if you work with them when they're smaller, there are lots of private equity rounds that the investment banking team can raise for them. They need money. They are happy to pay 12-13% kind of IRRs to us. Most of their loans are 1 to 2 years in nature, and therefore we can afford to borrow short-term because the assets are also short-term in nature. Many of these are sort of equated monthly installments through which they pay us. So the duration profile of these assets is very, very short, and therefore they are very, very profitable. And we realize we have a brand where many of these NBFCs will want to associate with us and create long-term partnerships just the way we've done with Bajaj Finance. Right, we started Bajaj Finance and became our client 22 years ago, almost, you know, in 2002-2001. And since then, we've done every single financing for them. We've had research first on that company. We've backed them completely, and we've seen the growth they've done. So why not have the same business model with 30 or 40 or 50 smaller NBFCs? So it's a very well thought through plan, and there is a very good case where this book can scale to anywhere between 4,000 to 6,000 crores. Also, it diversifies our book. See, we have very low leverage. We have a good balance sheet, good capitalization. We know that wholesale mortgage will not be able to grow more than 18 to 20%. So the idea is, how do we use our capital more effectively and generate a much higher ROA on that capital? That's very important, right? Because if we have cross-sell capabilities to every loan we make, then that loan is more profitable and the ROE is going to be much higher with higher ROAs, and that means lower leverage. So that is the strategy across the group. So if you look 2-3 years forward, it's not that we are exiting any business. We are going to be in wholesale mortgages. We are going to be in FIFG financing. We are going to be in corporate lending. We are going to be in LAS. The thrust that is coming to really grow fast and become big is on the retail assets. We started the HFC exactly 6 years ago, and I'm happy to report that for the month of October, just the month of October, they have disbursed 160 crores, right, which is a phenomenal number, right? And that number, I expect, with a little bit of more branch expansion going to 120, 125 branches, in 6 months to 7 months' time will be 200 crores a month. So we are talking about having almost a 5,000 to 6,000 crore retail asset book in a 2 to 2.5 year time frame, which is, you know, almost in a decade we built almost a $1 billion business, you know, from scratch internally without buying anything. So I think a lot of efforts on strategy, a lot of efforts on execution playing out. We can even discuss our investments in digital asset management, right? We started investing in asset management 2 years ago. A lot of people thought that we are foolish. Why are we trying to rebuild our mutual fund? But I'm happy to report that currently, you know, we are more, as we speak, we are more than 2,000 crores in equity assets in our mutual fund. Some of our scheme performances have been top class, right? And we've hired good, experienced people who in a very mature way are going and building the business from a long-term perspective. Now, so, you know, we are taking steps in the right direction. We feel the capital markets are still young. They're still very small. There is tremendous growth ahead of them. And the same thing applies to even many niche areas on the lending side, and we will exploit them, and we will create a lot of growth opportunities over the next 10 years.
Sure. Thank you. And just one question related to the, you know, mortgage lending again. So on the NPA side, suppose, again, I'm not from the financial background, and therefore pardon my question. So when we generally hear any of these deals, they are typically 2x on the cover or something of that kind. So do we end up getting and collecting in the recoveries all the interest that is lost? And if the covers are for 2x, why do we still end up making the net loss?
Yeah, so that's a very, very good question. So let me tell you, this is exactly how we used to think about it 5 years ago, that if we have 2x cover, what is the issue? The problem is, two times cover you normally get on an account which is paying you high teens, right? So you always feel safe from a collateral perspective. But the borrower rating is not always that high. And because the borrower rating is not high, what does it mean? It means that when stress times come, the borrower's ability to extract cash flow from that stipulated two times cover becomes difficult. And therefore, the realizable cover never actually is two times. It's a lot lower. And therefore, we are finding it safer to do loans with much better quality investors, quality developers who have much stronger balance sheets, who've been sort of have enough of capacity and capital to withstand pressure at 1.6 or 1.7 or 1.8 cover and lend money to them at 13 or 14% and actually look for the two cover transactions where we're trying to lend at 18 to 19%. And what our experience has told us in the last 4 or 5 years that cover is extremely theoretical if the question comes up on the ability of the developer to execute through stress times. And therefore, that is a misnomer. And that is really the crux and sort of holy grail of the business is how you choose your credit. You know, and many of the places where you get 2 to even 2.5 times cover, you know, are developers who don't have the ability or capability to withstand sort of a multi-year crisis, which we have seen in retail, in wholesale mortgages, right through ILFS, through COVID-1 and COVID-2.
Thank you. Thanks a lot and happy Diwali to all.
Happy Diwali to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Kampani for closing comments.
Yes, thank you very much, all of you, for attending our call, especially in the week of Diwali. You know, with this, I would like to conclude, I would, you know, wish everyone a happy Diwali and a very happy New Year. And if you have any further questions or any data that is specifically required on our results, on our strategy, or any of the guidances we have given through our call, please reach out to our finance team. Nishit and team will be very happy to take you all through the details. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.